Let's do it.
Out to the right. 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it.
This.
Demole Williams! Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right, and we are back with another episode of the Climbing the Pocket podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And it's a little strange. It's a little weird this evening. We are down to a skeleton crew, but we're still going to do it for y'all tonight. You know, we probably should have planned this a little bit better, you know, thinking about recording on our usual schedule when it's the opening night of Black Panther. So obviously, Saxy Prince not with us, dressing up. Pick soon to come to twitter.com, but I got my man QB1 in here with me locked in, and we're gonna do it for y'all tonight. JR, what's going on, my man?
What's going on, man? We are a little light tonight, but I think we'll still be okay.
Yeah, I think we'll be able to do a little something. And you know, Prince is at the movie, he's at Black Panther, and I know that, you know, a lot of the time, you know, we get a little nerd crazy in here. We start talking about the comic book movies and all that kind of stuff, and you kind of zone out on us, but are you making an exception? Are you going to step away from the game tape and the film? And do you have any plans to go see Black Panther?
Yeah, I'm actually going tonight. I'm going to the late movie to see it, you know, with the fiance. So she's excited. I'm excited to see exactly what this movie is all about. So I have my reviews for it next week.
Okay. All right. And did you get Saxy Prince to send you any Nigerian gear to wear to the premiere?
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, that's a missed opportunity. Next time. Yeah, myself, I'm actually going to have to wait for a little while. So if you guys spoil anything for me, I can't go till Saturday because I'm going with my wife, my sister-in-law, both my sisters, and my cousin.
Oh, the whole gang.
Oh, yeah, we're taking the whole crew, the whole gang, going together, check it out over the weekend. So looking forward to that. But I don't know if they did it like this on purpose, but this might be the blackest weekend of the whole year with, you know, we got Black Panther opening. We got All-Star Weekend.
Yeah,
and so, I figure, you know, we can talk a little bit about it. I know, and I'm going to get feedback after the episode like I did last week from my man Dave and some others who were like, you know, great episode, but I kind of fast-forwarded through all the basketball talk. So you might want to do that again here because we're going to talk about just a little bit of stuff. But it's All-Star Weekend, JR, and you know, All-Star Weekend for me anyway growing up was one of those things where, you know, the Saturday night didn't really – the game, not so much. But, you know, the events the day before with the three-point contest, the dunk contest, that was always something I made time for. So I guess for you, are you going to be watching – I guess this is my first question. Are you going to be watching – because I feel like if it's a sport and they keep score, you'll be watching. But I'm going to ask anyway, are you watching this weekend? You watching everything, rookie game, rookie challenge, three-point, dunk, all that stuff?
Yeah, I'm a guy that watches it all. Obviously, I'm going to see Black Panther, so I'm not going to be able to see the first day of everything as far as the celebrity game and stuff like that. But, you know, as far as the main part of the weekend, which is the three-point shootout and dunk contest and obviously the game, obviously I watch all of that stuff, but I'm actually a guy that loves watching the Rising Stars game too. You see a lot of future NBA stars in that game, but I'm going to miss that. But, of course, I'll catch the highlight and see a rerun of it eventually. But I'm excited about this weekend, though. It's a lot of great contestants.
Well, I'm going to need you to help me out as we move through this stuff because, you know, I might try to put some picks in or something like that, you know, try to, you know, maybe put a ticket in, win a little bit of money over this All-Star weekend. But as you know, as you sent us the list of all these guys who were competing in these events, and I'm not going to lie, there was a lot of, who is that? What is that person? Let me hit Google real quick and check this dude out. So as we kind of run through these events, let's start with the skills competition. I guess, who are the players to watch in the skills competition? And who do you think might be a dark horse that might come up and be able to win it all that maybe, you know, the casual fan might not be as aware of?
Yeah, so obviously the who is that name is Spencer Dinwiddie. He's a player for the Brooklyn Nets. A lot of people don't really know about. He's not a flashy player or anything like that. Obviously not a notable name, but he's very skilled. And the other people are obviously more notable names. You have Joel Embiid, who obviously is an all-star. Al Horford, who's usually an all-star. Lauri Markkanen, who is a rookie this year. Buddy Hield, very notable player that went high in the draft last year, Jamal Murray. Another notable name, Andre Drummond, obviously is a notable name for the Pistons. And Lou Williams, obviously another notable name for the Clippers. A very different variety of players in this group. You have some big men, you have some point guards. So it's a very mixed up bunch, I should say. But I think a guy to watch out for, obviously, is Lou Williams. I think he's going to be my guy in this competition.
Okay. All right. And, you know, because you know what you're doing, I'm over here and I have looked up and, you know, doing a little bit of research here on some of these betting establishments. And your kind of feeling on where you should go, Lou Williams, you know, the betting public agrees with you. He is right now the favorite for the skills challenge. But, like, who's a dark horse out of this group? Someone that maybe, you know, might be able to come in and surprise some people and steal the hardware from Big Lou.
I think Jamal Murray is a sleeper. He's a guy that has really good handle. He can pass the ball really well. Obviously, he's a really good three-point shooter. So he's a guy I think could sneak in through the back door and actually steal the trophy from Lou Williams.
Okay. All right. So moving along, three-point shootout. Is Klay Thompson just walking away with that? Or, I mean, is there anyone else who might be able to – you know, to step in and take that away from him?
You know, there's some good contestants in this. Obviously, Klay Thompson is going to be the favorite. Some other guys I really like is Devin Booker. Paul George, obviously, is a good shooter. And Eric Gordon is another good shooter that I think can have some success in this competition. But I'm going to go with Devin Booker. He's a streaky shooter. He's a guy that I think can catch fire in this competition. You know, especially if he gets that first and second rack going. I think once he gets to those money balls and starts racking those points up, I think he can get on a roll. So I'm going to go with the upset. I'm going to go with Devin Booker over Klay Thompson.
Okay. So I'm writing this down so far for my big money ticket. I got Jamal Murray. I got Devin Booker. And then, you know, we're gonna bring this thing home with the, you know, kind of the crown jewel of the pregame events for All-Star Weekend with the dunk contest. And, you know, dunk contest, it has been a little hit or miss over the last, you know, few years. We got some really good ones, but we got some with some not so notable names, not so memorable things. What are your thoughts on, I guess, the cast of characters they have for the dunk contest? And who are you looking forward to seeing?
Well, for those that don't know, the contestants in the dunk contest this year are Victor Oladipo, the guard from the Pacers, Larry Nance, the forward from the now Cleveland Cavaliers, Dennis Smith, the point guard from the Dallas Mavericks, and Donovan Mitchell, the surprise rookie from the Utah Jazz, who probably is the rookie of the year right now. It's between him and Ben Simmons. So, you know, Dennis Smith Jr. is my guy, Jason.
I was about to say, Dennis Smith Jr., that name sounds like a name you told us a little something about before the season started. So, I mean, are you just going to kind of stick with the home team and your guy that you told us was going to be good before he dribbled a basketball in the NBA? Or are you going a different way with it?
See, this is tough for me because we know the one thing Larry Nance is known for is that he can jump out the gym. But I've never seen him, like, add some flair to his dunks. He just jumps really high. So I'm not sure if he can add a little bit of flair to it, like Aaron Gordon did in previous years and Zach LaVine did. But with Duncan, it always looks better when the shorter guys do it. We've seen that with Nate Robinson and shorter guys throughout the past. It just looks better and it looks a little bit harder and a lot flashier when shorter guys do it. And Dennis Smith only being in that 6'1 to 6'2 range, he's shown that, you know, he can get off the floor and he has some bounce and he can add a little bit of flavor to his dunk. So I'm going to stick with the North Carolina boy. I'm going to go with Dennis Smith.
No surprise there. And I don't know, I might, you know, just for fun, you know, finishing out my big money ticket there, go for Larry Nance Jr. to be the first, you know, person to bring a father-son dunk contest winner into the same family. Round out my big money ticket. Cha-ching. We good. I think that's what we're going to do there. There's one thing that you didn't mention, and I was a bit surprised because it was one of those he's still in the league moments. But is the Wayne Ellington I see on this list, is that the same Wayne Ellington that I'm thinking about from, like, North Carolina? Like, that's the same dude?
Yeah, he's bounced around the league quite a bit. But I think he's with the Miami Heat now. That's off the top of my head. I might be wrong. But I think he's still with the Miami Heat right now. And, yeah, that's still the same Wayne Ellington that we've come to know from Carolina and was a high draft pick, I believe. And, you know, now he's just really been bouncing around the league for the most part. He's found a home with the Miami Heat.
And it is confirmed. It is the Miami Heat. And yes, wow, he is still, in fact, in the league. I was not expecting that, but good for him. And maybe he can be the dark horse, come through, do a little something in the 3-point shooting contest. Unlikely, but, you know, it'd be nice for old time sake, a little nostalgia in there. And with that, we have concluded the NBA portion of the show. All of you, I'm not basketball. I hate basketball, guys. Apologies. We will now roll into the regular scheduled programming, the Vikings talk that we tend to do around here. It's the off season. Wild speculation is pretty much what we've been doing nonstop here of late. JR, I guess, what are the latest rumors that have kind of been floating around on, you know, Vikings Twitter or, you know, mainstream sources or anything like that, that have kind of, you know, piqued your interest in terms of, you know, things that maybe, hey, that might be a little interesting, or I'd, you know, it'd be interesting if the team did that, or maybe even a rumor that you've heard or seen that you just absolutely hate and can't believe that anyone of sound mind would think that would be a good idea for the Vikings.
So obviously the latest one is AJ McCarron. He's like the hot new quarterback on the market. His ruling today, or his grievance ruling today, was that he was going to be able to become an unrestricted free agent, basically meaning that he would be able to sign with any team that he wishes, as opposed to being a restricted free agent, to where the Bengals could match any offer that he gets. So McCarron is going to get to choose whoever that he wants to sign with this offseason. And some Viking fans have kind of been defending him and saying that they want to sign him, which I don't really understand, because he hasn't shown to be good to this point. And I think he's going to get a Mike Glennon type of deal, where he gets that 3-year deal that's basically one guaranteed year plus two option years after that. And I think his career path, or his career trajectory, is on the same pathway as Mike Glennon was. I think he's a guy that's basically a glorified backup, and he's basically going to get paid off of his name, and teams thinking that he has potential, but it's really not there. He was a backup for a reason. And I mean, he couldn't beat out Andy Dalton in 4 years, and that should show you the type of talent that he does have. And that's not to say that he can't not get better or he can't improve, but he just hasn't shown it to this point. Another free agent that Paul Allen from KFAN actually floated out there today. He's not saying that the Vikings actually do have interest in him, but he's a guy that they may target, which was Nate Solder, the left tackle from the Patriots. I don't really understand that either, because the reason that Riley Reiff was bought here was to be the left tackle. And I just don't see a situation where it makes sense where they would flip him or even Solder to the other side, because that is where Reiff struggled at when he was in Detroit, and he seemed to play better at left tackle. So that signing wouldn't really make a lot of sense to me, because they would have to move either Solder or Reiff to the right side. And obviously the big elephant in the room is Kirk Cousins. We've seen a lot of big media people going back and forth about that entire situation and exactly what the Vikings will do. Will they chase Kirk Cousins, or will they not chase Kirk Cousins? And I don't think anybody really knows besides the Vikings brass. And I think a lot of people are probably just floating stuff out there. And that's not to say that they're making it up, but I don't think nobody knows what the Vikings are really going to do besides the people that are in Winter Park. So those are really the big three notable guys right now. And all those three have really caught my eye for various opinions.
Okay.
At this point.
So, I mean, there's one, I mean, notable name, because, you know, every day, you know, a new name will pop up that, you know, of course, because now they're a free agent, they must be good, and we must, of course, sign them. Tell me about Vontae Davis. I mean, you know, he seemed to have some good seasons at some point along the lines. You know, he's a well-known player. He's available now. What are your thoughts on him? Is he someone the Vikings should take a look at, bring in, see if they can bring him in for cheap, or is it just a wrap for him and he's done and he's probably going to be stealing checks for the next little bit here?
I wouldn't say he'd be stealing checks, but I think he's a guy that's really better known for his name off what he's done in the past as opposed to what he's done lately. He hasn't been very good lately. He's really been a shell of himself, honestly, and he's just not that same guy that we saw in Miami. I mean, somebody's going to sign him, but it just doesn't make sense for him to come to Minnesota because he's going to want to go somewhere where he's going to start or has the potential to be in a competition to start. And I just don't think that's in his best interest in Minnesota. So I don't really see the Vikings being interested in him, and it just doesn't make sense from either side.
Okay. All right. So those are some of the, I guess, the quote sexy names that have been floated out there a lot here of late. And yeah, I think we touched on the main ones. What we really haven't had you do yet. And, you know, I checked your timeline before we started recording, and I wouldn't doubt if I check it right now that you probably just put up a new video of a prospect or a free agent to be that you're watching. But, you know, put your GM hat on. I know you like to do the scouting thing and kind of look at players and what they can do and where they fit. But now I'm going to kind of put you on the spot a little bit. I want you to do a little bit more than just tell me what a player can do or not do. I want you to tell me what your ideal offseason for these Minnesota Vikings look like. So you have the power now to decide which free agents we're going to go after. Obviously, you know, we're giving you the keys to the car when it comes time for the draft and putting that all together. What does JR's offseason look like, and how are you going to build a team that not only can get back to the playoffs, but actually, you know, get over the hump and really compete with a team like Philadelphia that really looks like they have it all together?
Yeah, so obviously I'm big on building teams from the inside out, and we obviously seen the team that just won the Super Bowl, we seen that they were basically built from the inside out, and we all know the game starts in the trenches. The strength of the team is in the trenches, and I think that's a big weakness for the Vikings right now, but this is just not a strong free agent class as far as interior offensive and defensive linemen. There is a couple notable names there on both sides of the ball. Obviously, you have your Sheldon Richardsons and guys like that on the defensive line. There is some notable names on the interior offensive line. Andrew Norwell is probably the biggest name on the market right now, and I don't think the Vikings will get in a bidding war for him. And it's just not Rick Spielman's MO to get in a bidding war for a guy that he thinks is just going to eventually get outpriced out of his services. But there is some guys in that second tier that I think they potentially could be interested in. You're talking about a guy like Jack Newhart from Indianapolis. He's been a bit injury stricken here lately. He hasn't finished the past two seasons, I don't believe. I think he's missed 17 games the past two seasons. But prior to that, he did play really good. And we all know Rick Spielman loves those former Ohio State offensive linemen, and he is a former Ohio State guy. I think he's around like 27 or 28 years old, so he's right in that range that Spielman likes to sign. Another guy is Zach Fulton from the Chiefs. He's a guy that's played 46 games at center and guard, so he has that flexibility that you love on the interior. And some other guys, you know, you have like Justin Pugh, who's another notable name. From the New York Giants, and I think he'll come at a reasonable price. But he's had some injuries here lately, so there is some caveats to every single type of signing that you can make in this interior offensive or defensive lineman class. It just seems like there isn't any clean free agents out there as far as from a playing style standpoint and from an injury background standpoint. It just seems that everyone has a positive and a huge negative with it. So they're going to have to take a risk with any free agent that they sign on the interior offensive or defensive line. Even on, I've been a big advocate for a guy like Sheldon Richardson. We all know he's a great player. He does have sometimes where he does turn it off, and sometimes he turns it on. He really plays when he wants to. And that's a big, you know, weakness with signing Sheldon Richardson. You're taking a big risk with him. Do you want to invest in a guy that's shown to have some effort questions and some off-the-field questions? And that just goes back to what I was saying, that every free agent in this class, as far as interior offensive and interior defensive line, has some caveats and some weaknesses to it. So if Rick Spielman does want to address the trenches in this class, I think if he wants those first or second-tier guys, they're going to come with some big negatives.
So what about some value guys? Like, I'm looking on some lists here, and, you know, I see guys like, you know, Daquan Jones, Justin Ellis, names that, you know, maybe made the rounds a little bit on, you know, on draft Twitter, you know, a little while back, who are now coming up for free agency. Are there any names like that out there that you find interesting? You know, a guy like a Tank Carradine, even maybe to help bolster, you know, the edge. Are there any players that you see, maybe not in that top tier or the sexy names that everyone knows, but maybe, you know, digging a little bit deeper, guys that, you know, maybe have some potential that that our coaching staff would be able to unearth to make them values for us.
Yeah, it's funny you say that. Even those third tier guys, it just seems like either they've had injuries or they're just not a scheme fit. And you talk about a guy like a Daquan Jones, who's more of a five technique or a four eye technique, and a 3-4 front. That's what he played in Tennessee, I believe it was. He's played mostly in the 34 front. So he really wouldn't be a scheme fit for the Vikings. But a guy that we've both agreed on that we like is Dominique Easley. I know you're a big advocate for him as far as a defensive tackle, but he's had, I believe, 3 ACL surgeries to this point. So obviously he's another guy that comes with the caveat of injury concerns. And I mean, I'm fine with taking a risk on a guy like that. We all seen that the Vikings have a fantastic training staff, and I think they would be able to potentially help Dominique Easley stay healthy. But once again, it is a huge risk, but Dominique Easley definitely is a name that I definitely would be interested in. And even Aaron Lynch is another edge name that I would be interested in from the San Francisco 49ers.
Yeah, what can you tell us about Aaron Lynch? Because he's another guy, you know, I guess we'll say he comes with some red flags, some things. I remember going through the draft process, reading a little bit about, you know, some of his issues. And even, you know, as a professional, there have been, you know, stories written about him coming in heavy. What's the story on him? What's his background? And I guess if he is able to reach his potential, what kind of player do you think he might be able to be for the Vikings?
Yeah, he's a guy that really flashed in 2014 and 2015. I think it was 2015 when the Vikings played them in the season opener. And he just went off. I think he had like a career game against the Vikings. And that's really where he burst onto the scene. 2015 was obviously his best year by far from a production standpoint. But he is a guy that's been very inconsistent since that point. His weight has fluctuated up and down from that point. And he's had some struggles with the coaching staff as far as them being able to get to him from a coaching standpoint. And he's kind of just turned them away. And he's obviously going to be a guy that's going to be an unrestricted free agent, and he's going to be looking for a new team, a new scenery, and I think that's best for both sides. And I think he could be a guy that could come in and be that rotational guy behind Everson Griffin and Danielle Hunter, and obviously provide some competition to guys like Tayshaun Bauer and Steven Weatherly, which eventually makes your defensive end rotation even better and even deeper, just like what we saw with Philadelphia. So Aaron Lynch, I think, would be a very good signing, but he's a guy that hasn't played in a 4-3 scheme. The 49ers have played a 34 scheme to this front, so you would be taking a bit of a risk because he's never played in this type of scheme. But as far as a guy that can put his hand in the dirt and rush off the edge, it's something that Andre Patterson would probably have to teach him. But, I mean, he's still only 24 years old. He'll turn 25 here in March, so he'll be 25 very soon. But he's obviously a high upside guy because he is so young, and you're able to teach him some of those new techniques and some of those new tendencies.
All right. So we're starting in the trenches, and Riley Reiff, he's going to be back at my left tackle. You mentioned Zach Fulton, and he's a guy who, you know, shown some versatility. Looks like he played all right over the past couple seasons there. He's in that, you know, 26, you know, age bracket that, you know, Spielman seems to like to go value shopping in. So let's say, you know, GMJR, Zach Fulton is his, you know, one of his value signings. Where's Zach Fulton playing on the offensive line? Is he our left guard?
I think he play either one, but I don't want to move Easton. He's played all three positions, so I would put him at my right guard.
Okay, so if we're looking at the offensive line then, kind of from your perspective as GM, we're going Reiff, Easton, Elfline, Fulton, and Remmers. Are we picking up any other players for depth or anything like that? Or are we looking maybe to bring in some competition for Easton? Or are we just going to go with the, you know, some continuity there and just kind of plug in Fulton to fill in that one missing spot?
Yeah, so another guy that I've been advocating for is Senio Calamente. And we all know we debated that name a lot when the Vikings played against the Saints in the playoffs. That actually was one of his better games. And he's a guy that's mainly a depth piece. He doesn't have many starts for them. He basically was their sixth man off the bench. But whenever he came in, he played really well. He didn't grade well as far as Pro Football Focus because his technique is just not very good right now. And that just comes from not playing a lot. And I think he's a guy that eventually will be a starter one day. And, I mean, heck, he might sign somewhere this offseason to be a starter. I don't think that would be in his best interest, but it's probably something that he does want to pursue because he's been – basically the Saints' sixth man up until this point in his career. But if he's still willing to accept that sixth man off the bench role, I think he would be a fantastic signing, because if you get in those emergency situations like where Elflein was getting injured and then Nick Easton goes down, Senio Calamente is a guy that could step in right away. And I don't think there would be much of a drop off as long as you expect him to only play or start for, let's say, a 3 to 4 or 5 game stretch. I think he's a guy that can produce highly in that stretch of games.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So we fixed the offensive line, feeling good. Feel like we've made up some ground there. Flip it over to the other side. So I know kind of the pipe dream, the guy that we all want, Sheldon Richardson, you know, figure out the structure, protect the team. Is that kind of, you know, number one, you know, GMJR, is that where we're going there? Are you going to look for value on the defensive line as well?
I would say he is my top guy right now. And basically why I say that is, yes, it's a huge risk trying to sign Sheldon Richardson. And I mean, Seahawks might not even let him go. There is talk about them actually franchise tagging him because, I mean, they gave up a second round pick for the guy. So they do have some right, or they should want to keep him, even though his production did slip a little bit this year. And his presence would take our D-line to another level, because I think Andre Patterson and Mike Zimmer would be able to get the most out of him. And he's a former first-round pick. We've seen that Mike Zimmer does love bringing in those former first-round picks and even reclamation projects. We've seen that back when he was with the Bengals, guys that just weren't good at certain points in their career, or they have some off-the-field issues or attitude issues, and he was able to turn their careers around. And I think he would be able to do that with a guy like Sheldon Richardson. Another guy that may interest the Vikings is Star Latuile from the Panthers. He's a guy that's not very twitched up. He's more of your run defender as opposed to a guy that's going to push the pocket versus the pass. But his rookie year, he was really good. And since that point, he hasn't been very good. His production has slipped mightily since then. And a lot of people don't really understand why that has happened. But let's say a team like the Vikings do pick him up, maybe Andre Patterson and Mike Zimmer can squeeze that potential back out of him, what we saw his rookie year. So I think Star Latuile would definitely be a backup option to Sheldon Richardson. But I don't think the drop-off would be that much different from the two.
Okay, okay. So with that, you know, we've shored up the interior. What are we doing, like, for Linval? Because I know one of the things that has been talked about, you know, by us, by most everyone on Vikings Twitter, is that you know, maybe, you know, going into next season, we need to see some more rotation amongst our guys. You know, it seemed like maybe as the season went on, all of our players, we focus a lot on the outside guys, but it looked like maybe all of our guys in the D-line were playing too much. Are you doing anything specific to try to kind of back up that that nose tackle spot, or are you just going to rotate the guys that you're bringing in there to deal with that? Or is Stephen's coming back to take on that role?
Yeah, I would try to bring Shamar Stephen back. I think that would be plan A for me, just because he's a guy that you have developed to this point and you have a lot of reps invested in him, and you don't just want to let him walk out the door. But, I mean, he does have the right to go somewhere and want to start, just because maybe he thinks higher of himself and he's just tired of being Linval's backup and he thinks better of his career and he can make more money somewhere else. That's a possible situation. But let's say that does happen. He does go elsewhere. A guy that I would like to pick up is Boy Allen. He's a guy that was Fletcher Cox's backup this past season with the Philadelphia Eagles. He filled in admirably for him, gave Fletcher Cox some blows, kept the snap count relatively low, and there wasn't much of a drop off when he did come in to play, you know, those 20 or 30% of the plays throughout the game. He's a Minnesota boy, so obviously he will have a lot of interest in playing for the Vikings considerably, because I mean, he grew up around it. I'm not sure exactly what city he is for. I want to say Minnetonka. I don't know that. I think that's off the top of my head. But Boy Allen, I think, will be a fantastic pickup for the Vikings as a depth rotational piece behind Linval.
And you're right. I mean, he went to Minnetonka High School, so it's, I mean, it looks like you're right. Looks like you're right on that one. So you fixed the offensive line. You basically fixed the defensive line. So we'll say that, you know, we brought in some of those pieces, sure, up the middle. Aaron Lynch is kind of the shot we take on the edge. Brian Robinson back?
Yeah, I would bring him back. I think he's just a guy that's meant so much to the organization, and I think you should do the right thing with him, and I think he should have the right to retire a Viking. And I mean, I'm big on doing the right thing by veterans. He's a guy that's meant so much to the Vikings organization. And yes, his production has slipped a bunch, but he's a guy that can come in and be that pass rush specialist like we saw with the Chris Long. And even if he's playing, let's say, 10 to 15 plays a game, I think he's able to maximize that role because he's a guy that can play on the interior and he can play on the edge. And if you ask him to play those 10 to 15 to 20 plays a game, I think he's a guy that can give you his all in all of those plays that he's asked.
All right. Well, I mean, we've done it. The trenches are good. And I know that, you know, that is the number one area, the two areas, number one, number two, that you wanted to get in there and fix as GM. What are you doing with the rest of the roster? What are your priorities from there? What do we need to do to really take the team over the top for the remaining position groups on offense and defense?
I think you just have to build depth. I think they're fine at all of the other spots. Of course, we don't know what's going to happen with the quarterback situation. Either they can chase a guy like Kirk Cousins, or they can bring back Keenum and Teddy, or even bring back Bradford, if that's what they choose to do.
What are you gonna do?
Oh, what am I doing?
You're running the show right now, so this is okay. What you want to do. What is GMJR doing right now?
I got you.
As you're doing this thing for the offseason, you fix the offensive line, you fix the defensive line. Who's throwing the ball for us next season?
Yeah, so I'm bringing Case Keenum back on a Mike Glennon type deal. I'm giving him the first year guaranteed, and the last 2 years on the deal, I'll make them option years. And let's say I give Case $20 million a year. So let's say a 3-year, $20 million deal. The first year guaranteed and second year option years, like I said. And I'll bring back Teddy Bridgewater on a 1-year, let's say $7 to $8 million with a lot of incentives that can push it to $10.5 or $11 million. I think that's fair to him. And that protects us just in case, you know, the knee does break down again like it did before. And I want to get another corner. I'm going to take a huge risk here because I don't want to say I believe in him, but I've seen what he's able to do on the field. And yes, he's been a head case at this point in his career. But like I said, we've seen Mike Zimmer make reclamation projects, and I'm going to give him a 1-year deal. And that's Jalen Collins from the Falcons. He's had some past drug issues. He's had a lot of off the field concerns, and I'm just going to sit him down. I'm going to say, look, we're going to offer you a 1-year deal, but if you blow it or if you fail another drug test, we're just going to let you go and go on about your way. So he's a guy that I think highly of as far as on the field. He proved to be Atlanta's bona fide number two corner when they did make their run to the Super Bowl during the latter half of that season. And in the playoffs, he played at a really high level. And we talk about a guy like a Trey Waynes that's going into, you know, his fifth year option year coming up. So this will be year four for him. But after that, it'll be his fifth year option year. So in case Trey does keep improving on his development and his price does get a little bit higher, considering we're already paying guys like Xavier Rhodes and Harrison Smith in the secondary, we can't keep affording these high price pieces. Let's say Colin does come in and he's a reclamation project. He's a guy that you can already have in your back pocket to give you Trey Waynes insurance just in case Trey Waynes does outprice himself and he's decided to go elsewhere. So Jalen Collins will be a guy I will offer a 1-year deal to.
Of kind of your splash plays that you're going to make kind of free agent wise there, or any other players that you kind of still have an eye on that you want to kind of talk about here as the GM of the Vikings?
Those are pretty much it for the most part. Obviously, we can address, if we have the money, we can address the tight end spot. I really want to move athletic tight end. I would love to get Trey Burton. I don't know how possible it is considering you don't really want that much money tied up into the tight end spot. Kyle Rudolph is already making, I think, north of $7 million this upcoming year. So maybe we can restructure his deal and give him some more guaranteed money to lower his cap number so we can afford Trey Burton. He's a guy that can be that move athletic tight end. Kyle Rudolph can be your red zone chain mover guy. And David Morgan can be more of your blocking tight end and two tight end sets when we get in the red zone and in the goal line. So having a stable of those three guys, I think that would be a fantastic tight end unit.
And I know that, you know, Trey Burton, for obvious reasons, is getting a lot of buzz. I guess, what are your thoughts on some other guys like, you know, say Austin Seferian Jenkins, or even, you know, a guy who can't stay healthy, but when he is healthy is, Yeah, obviously a big time weapon in a Tyler Eifert.
Yeah, and Austin Seferian Jenkins, he had a really good year for the Jets last year. I actually haven't watched any film on him, so I don't really know a whole bunch about him, but he's another guy that can be that kind of your move athletic tight end, but I don't really know how much his price would be. And I don't think he's going to get a whole bunch of money simply because he's had some off-the-field concerns. So maybe he can definitely be a guy we can reach out to on a one-year incentive-laden deal as well.
And Tyler Eifert, are the injury concerns just too much on him? Or is he someone that you would, you know, you'd kick the tires on as GM?
Yeah, like you say, your famous saying, back injuries don't go away as you get older. So I really wouldn't touch Tyler Eifert.
Okay, all right. So, you know, we take our shot. You know, we're going to restructure Rudy. We're going to try to get, you know, Burton, maybe Seferian Jenkins, someone like that in here. All right. Now we've made it to your wheelhouse. We're at the draft. What are you doing?
Well, it just depends who we're able to sign. I really want a defensive tackle. I want to dominate defensive tackle. And you talk about a guy like Amarius Hurst, somebody like that, Deron Payne from Alabama, a guy that can just be a plug-and-play guy from day one, even a Harrison Phillips from Stanford or Tavon Bryan. This interior defensive line class is loaded, so whichever route that they decide to take, either in the first, second, or third round, I think they can get a very good player. Me personally, I would like to attack it right away. Because interior offensive line and interior defensive line, either way you mix and match it in the first or second round, I think you can get a good player because the draft is so deep at both positions. So let's say we attack it in the first round and we get a guy like Maurice Hurst. I think he's a plug-and-play starter from day one.
And so this is even if you know, as Luke likes to say, you go get your guys and you get Sheldon Richardson here. Is that switching it up for you at all, or are you just still – building that depth, building that monster where you have, you know, there's no change for you from your first starters and your kind of your second team guys? Or would you go in a different direction if you get Sheldon Richardson?
Yeah, if we get Sheldon Richardson, I actually would go a different direction. I'd address the interior offensive line. So you talk about a guy like Isaiah Wynn from Georgia, who can be a plug and play guy, and even a Billy Price, who's a very popular name on Vikings Twitter right now. You pair him back up with Pat Elflein. So whichever one you were able to sign, I think you should go the opposite. So if you're able to get a headliner name at interior defensive line, I think you should get an interior offensive lineman and even flip-flop that. If you're able to get, let's say, Andrew Norwell, I know that's living in a fairy tale world because he probably won't sign here, but let's say they do end up signing him, I think you should attack interior defensive line and get a guy like Amarius Hurst or Deron Payne.
Okay. All right. So we know how you're going to go after the first couple rounds here. And unlike previous drafts, we don't have as many picks as we would typically have there. So how are you filling out the rest of it? Just based on what this draft class looks like, what are some of the positions we might be able to, you know, mine some value at later on in the draft? And who are some names maybe, you know, those of us who aren't as deep into the draft stuff yet should really be looking at for some of the late round picks?
So I think they're going to have to end up taking a running back because it sounds like Jerick McKinnon wants to go elsewhere and having an expanded role or even start somewhere. So you talk about a guy like a John Kelly from Tennessee, who's about 5'9", 205 pounds, built exactly like Jerick McKinnon, runs very hard, a very balanced runner, able to avoid contact and even shake off contact, very good between the tackles, can run on the perimeter as well and catch the ball out of the backfield. John Kelly would be a great fit for the Vikings. I think he's a Jerick McKinnon clone, actually. You talk about another guy, and Mark Walton from Miami, who's another one of those shorter backs, about 5'10", 210 pounds, a short, stocky guy. Suffered an ankle injury last year, so last season he didn't end up playing as many games. I think he only played 4 games, but in 2016 and then those first few games in 2017, he looked like a bona fide early-round pick, so Mark Walton will be another guy that I think they should target. And even a Nick Chubb from Georgia, he's another guy I think they could target as well. He's not going to give you as much in the passing game standpoint and a pass protection standpoint. So he's more of your two down back, but I think he's a guy that they also could think about taking. But I think Kelly and Walton fit them much better.
Okay. All right. All right. Miles isn't here, but you know, we're going to any, you know, mid round, late round, wide receiver types that you like out there that'd be able to fit in with what we're looking to do? Well, I guess what at this point we think we'll be looking to do, you know, offensively. Any guys that, you know, might slide into those value rounds that that might make you kind of run to the podium there?
Yeah, so I know Miles wants a deep threat really bad, so I'll go ahead and give him one here. I'll go ahead and give him Deion Kane from Clemson. He's a guy that's definitely a vertical threat down the field. I think he averaged about 17 yards a catch in 2016. His numbers dipped significantly last year. I think it was really due to quarterback play. We know Deshaun Watson, he had a great quarterback, national championship winner quarterback with him at the time, and transitioned to a brand new starter in Kelly Bryant this year. His numbers slipped a little bit. Now, Kane does struggle with some concentration drops, and he's more of your straight line burner as a guy that's going to run a full route tree. He's a guy that can blow the top off the defense and be that burner deep down the field. Another guy who you can probably get in the fourth or fifth round is Equanimous St. Brown from Notre Dame. Long, wiry frame, about 6'5", 205 pounds. I call him a bigger Mike Wallace. His hands are a little bit more reliable than what Mike Wallace's were in his time in Minnesota, but he's a guy that definitely glides when he runs, and he just makes running look very easy. He's not a guy that's going to catch a lot of routes in the short to intermediate areas, but if you ask him to run those deep go balls or those deep post balls over the middle, he's a guy that can stretch the middle of the field.
All right. I like all of that. And you were mentioning running backs, and there was a name that you didn't mention, that a player that I know you like. No, it's not going to be who you think it is. You know, I'm not going to, you know, pound the table here for Rashad Penny as I normally would want to be doing in like the group chat or anything like that. But, you know, a guy who actually wasn't invited to the combine, Ito Smith, I guess. What are your thoughts on him? I know that, you know, it seems like, you know, everything we're doing is about replacing, you know, Jerick McKinnon and that role in the offense. Is he someone that maybe we could get late or even, you know, undrafted that might fit?
Yeah, I think he'll end up getting drafted. I was really shocked that he wasn't invited to the combine, considering that he did participate in the Senior Bowl, and he had a really good Senior Bowl at that. But he's definitely a guy you could get probably in that fourth, fifth, or sixth round range, and I think he's a guy that can be that change of pace back. He's not as thick as Walton and Kelly are, but he does have that contact balance that you look for. He's fantastic catching it out of the backfield. He's had 40 plus catches in every season that he's been a full-time starter. Even though he is smaller, he's played in 51 games at Southern Miss, so he's proved to be durable, and he's just your ideal change of pace back in the backfield.
Okay, well, you know, I'm looking at the time here, and I know that you got a movie to get to before too long. So I got a couple questions for you. They got nothing to do with football whatsoever, but they're very important. So I'm gonna need some direct answers. No fence riding here. We need the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This or that, you know, some things that have popped up on the timeline. Need to get you on a position here, you know, on the record. Do you drink your milk after you eat the cereal?
I do not, surprisingly. I'm the guy that actually keeps filling the cereal in there until the milk is gone.
Okay, but like all the milk is gone when you're done, though.
Yeah, all the milk is gone when I'm done. I'm not a guy that just pours the milk in the trash can or the sink.
Okay,
that's just.
I was worried for him. I was like, man, you grew up rich or something, because, you know.
No.
It all got to be done.
Yeah, all that milk got to be gone. Mama, right. Don't play that.
Okay. All right, and really, most important for chicken wings, we going with drums or we going with flats?
Drums, okay. By far. Flats is just too much work. Flats are just way too much work. I'd rather just, you know, rotate it and bite it. That's just how I am. Drums are so much easier. And flats are just too much work for me.
Bonus question, what is your dip of choice when having some wings?
Ranch.
Okay. All right.
Of course, it's ranch.
We good. All right. Well, we got the second most important questions done here. Last up, I know you've been teasing it for a little bit, but what you working on? What should folks be out there, you know, beating the streets looking for you know, JR Draft Scout on the Twitter.com? What are you gonna be dropping for us?
Yeah, so I'm dropping a mock draft tomorrow, but it's not just a normal first round mock draft. So last week I came up with the question about the our favorite fictional football movie players. And so I decided to turn it into an actual mock draft in honor of Black Panther coming out. So what I did was I made an entire first round of the draft, the same projected draft order that we're going to expect in April. And I filled the slots in with fictional football movie characters, excuse me. And I'll just go ahead and give away the first pick because I love it. I think it's perfect. And it's from the movie Draft Day. I got the Browns selecting Bo Callahan. Because we all know the Browns are terrible at drafting quarterbacks. So why should we expect them to get it right this time around?
Because they got all the football guys. No, I mean they got all the football guys. So I mean they got to get it right.
Still the Browns. So we gave them Bo Callahan. It's just a perfect fit.
All right. Well, I can't wait for that. That looks like it is going to be a lot of fun. I have written nothing of late. As I've been telling the boys here, I started training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu a few months back. And foolishly, I have signed up to do a match tomorrow. So that's really just all I've been doing lately is going to the gym, getting beat up, and then coming home, stretching out and stuff. But I'm doing my first kind of amateur fight tomorrow. So after that, and then after the wounds heal and you know, all of that, I'll get back into doing a little bit more on the writing side. I want to actually do something with these numbers I pulled about, you know, positional values and stuff like that. And you know, I want to have some arguments with JR about, you know, draft needs for, you know, all of the teams leading into the draft. And
the real question, though, are we going to get film of the jiu-jitsu tape?
I'm sure there will be film. It's just a matter of, I'll try to get one of the boys from the gym to film. It'll really be, because the matches are 6 minutes unless they go to overtime, it'll be a whole lot of me just trying not to get choked and trying not to get my arm broken for 6 minutes. Or because the guy I'm going against is not a small man. He said he weighs 225, which means he weighs, you know, 230 or 235. Yeah. And my hope is to tire him out early and then try to make my move at the end. So we'll see how it goes. Or I might just get thrown around the gym. But it'll be good times either way. Looking forward
Best
to it.
Luck. Best of luck.
And I will try to get some video up here. You know, we clown on Saxy Prince for all of his stuff. You know, it's only fair that, you know, if I can get some video out there for y'all to clown me on, I do likewise. So I will try to find someone to do that recording for you. Just no promises on the quality of said recording. Or I'll just edit it to where, like, the only thing you guys get to see is me putting my hand up at the end or being peeled off the mat or something.
Best of luck, man.
Word. Well, JR, you know, it was just the two of us. But, you know, I feel like we gave the listeners a bit of good content there. You know, GM JR laying it down, letting us know what should be happening this offseason. So thank you for coming on, recording me tonight. Listeners, thank you for sticking with us, even through the NBA talk, if you stuck it out. You got some good stuff there from JR. And as always, we'll talk to you soon. Y'all have a good one.